Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people make friends. I'm just trying to save you a little money. My job is not just to entertain, but to put everything in context. So call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. To anyone who still insists that this market is just about Amazon, Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, Meta, NVIDIA, and Tesla, I urge you, think again. We've got so many winners right now, it's insane. Even on a reversal day, where the market opened up and only closed down, Dow dropping 31 points, S&P inching down 0.28%, NASDAQ climbed 0.42%. Oh, and you want losers? Well, how about the Magnificent Seven? They got two of them. Apple's down 12% for the year. Tesla's down more than 28%, making it the worst performer in the entire S&P 500. Mag 7. But all sorts of other stocks are flying. I'm not just talking about Reddit or Astera Labs or the new Trump Media and Technology Group, which came public via a SPAC merger. Frankly, those actually even worry me. They seem like meme stocks of yore with no large sellers, voracious, predatory buyers. Ironic, because GameStop reported a terrible quarter tonight, and it is getting clobbered. Now, I know the myriad bears don't want to hear this. Sometimes it feels like I'm walking down Jellystone National Park, not Wall Street out here. But look out, this rally does have legs, even after two down NASDAQ days where people were worrying about the fate of the bull. We're getting more companies involved to the point where the market no longer has a breath problem, even as some of this strength comes at the expense of the mega caps. Hey, here's an idea. Let's just go over the top dozen performers of the S&P 500 year to date, because rather than a Magnificent Seven market, it's more like a kind of a dirty dozen, 12. All right, the best performer, a company called Supermicro, which was just added to the S&P up just over 260% for 2024. Now, this is a derivative of NVIDIA, so you could argue Supermicro counts as a mega cap or at least a mega cap pin action stock. That's not fair. This company provides the racks and the data center. It's more of a pick and shovel story for the cloud and artificial intelligence. It's more than just an offshoot of NVIDIA. And it was gettable. The chartists we were using tonight nailed this thing perfectly not that long ago. Now, speaking of NVIDIA, yes, indeed, it's the second best performer in the S&P for the year, even as it was down hard today as part of the broadening of the market. Remember, it opened up and then went down. That's going to be viewed as very negative for people. One day, though, does not a sell-off make, but I'm just trying to make a point about what's been working beyond the stock of NVIDIA. Number three, independent power producer Constellation Energy, which has a huge focus on nuclear energy with a decent wind and solar kicker. The stock is up more than 58% for the year. That's a stunning move. It's a utility, for heaven's sake. Our nation is short on power thanks to the data center explosion, so it's a good time to be in the electricity business, especially renewable, non-fossil fuel energy with mega-cap clients that don't want their utilities to use coal or natural gas, or they will switch. Number four, again, is amazing. It's Deckers. This is an incredible story of Uggs and, more important, Hoka, the sneaker business, which is a strong number two to Uggs. I remember years ago when Deckers introduced Hoka under a previous CEO, and it seemed like an absolute dud. But you know what? They never gave up. They kept selling it. Now it's almost, I guess you could call it a real threat to Nike. Deckers is the essence of what I see as broadening of the bull market to now include specialty retail. You say Tesla, I say Deckers. Okay, number five is Meta, Meta Platforms. What can I say? When you fire a lot of people and your revenues go higher, that's max leverage. So Meta's now printing money. And if TikTok gets banned, of course, the stock could go to the moon. Six is Micron, commodity chip maker. Now, you could say it's all about the storage that's needed for artificial intelligence, and that's true. That's cell phones, auto, PC, server. Hey, that's a little more than AI, isn't it? Beyond high-performance chips, Micron's actually representative of all sorts of industries, auto, industrial, you name it. It's the broadened semiconductor play. Like Supermicro, it's not a mega cap, and that's what matters. Hey, then there's General Electric. This one's been a nonstop stock, the best way to invest in the booming aerospace business, given that Boeing, the more normal way, has had way too many problems. GE's on the eve of spinning off its power division as GE Vernova, making the remaining company a pure play on engines and engine service. The stock's been a monster performer under CEO Larry Culp, who's committed to this new, easy-to-understand, pure-play GE that he has created. And when the Vernova deal is official next week, I bet it goes higher still. Number eight is Marathon Petroleum, which is a refiner of all things. You went broad? Nothing's broader than an energy company. Marathon has 13 refineries, processes 2.9 million barrels in 12 states. It's our nation's largest refinery system, for heaven's sake. This is the kind of stock people want right now, not a cell phone company with Chinese exposure, even though I think that's short-sighted. The ninth best performer is Eli Lilly. Now, you could argue that Lilly's a mega cap. I hear that a lot, but it's not one of the Magnificent Seven. It's not been anointed like that. Hey, the truth is, by the way, Lilly's been part of the great broadening for a while now, thanks to this revolutionary GLP-1 drug for weight loss and diabetes. The wonder drug was actually addressed by Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, in our interview that's coming up momentarily. Hey, by the way, Lilly's Zepbound, which is their weight loss version of the GLP-1, is in extremely short supply all around the nation. Talk about a high-quality crop. Then it's Walt Disney, which is finally roaring because the board of directors wants to fight off Nelson Peltz. They do not want that famous activist investor in their boardroom. Nothing concentrates the mind like a good old proxy fight, right? It's interesting that Disney, which originally found $5.5 billion in costs to take out, now has found another $2 billion that can be cut. $2 billion here, $2 billion there. I think a great deal of that newfound grit can be attributed to the toughness with which Peltz is famous for. Okay, tech is next with Western Digital. Data storage company is predominantly disk drives, both hard and soft. It's just an incredibly cheap stock. Western Digital's actually been a money loser of late, but the estimates say business is about to flip. And you want to be in this stock when that happens. It's like Micron, but indeed with a weaker portfolio. And finally, once again, there's Eaton. The old line industrial, it's become new line by focusing on the energy transition. Yes, fossil to clean. We need that transition if we're going to be able to be what Larry Fink calls pragmatic about our energy. You want to manage energy in a responsible way, and that's what Eaton does. It's what it lets you do. It's a major focus for my Chapel Trust, which we will discuss when the Investing Club convenes at noon tomorrow. Still time to sign up. Now, you can say, wait a second, this isn't a good enough list. There's too much tech. Well, then I can point out that Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo, they go up pretty relentlessly. Or the retailers. Have you seen the stock of Williams-Sonoma lately? Or Dick's? Or The Gap? These are incredible moves. More on them later. How about Ralph Lauren? Especially retail. Great shape. And then there's the run that we got from McCormick today, the spice company. It joins Hormel and General Mills with an upside surprise. 3 for 3. That spice stock rallied more than 10%. Food stocks. I thought you told me they were dead, Jim Cramer. No, I never said that. Or how about Chipotle, a stock that's splitting and has an incredible performance, driving the volume of each store. Right now, their average store is doing a little over $3 million per year. But Chipotle thinks they can get that to $4 million with innovation and a solid loyalty club. I'm with them. I can pick huge winners from energy, healthcare, transportation, utilities, and aerospace, not to mention other retailers, insurers, all sorts of industrials. How about the autos? GM's becoming a real horse. Fintech, or the companies that cater to small, medium-sized businesses. These are all popping. In short, there are simply too many winners to name right now, including the recent IPOs like Astera Labs or Reddit, and I guess the post-SPAC Trump business. It's just a very strong market, and it's a rising tide, lifting many boats. Commentators are somehow afraid to celebrate the strength of this market. I understand that. Unless someone happened to say something really positive, and then the next thing you know is a negative right after they applaud, leaving them stuck with a YouTube video that makes them look like morons. So no one ever wants to go out on a limb and say anything positive. I know from experience. That's just a business. There's no way they can say, wow, is this tape great? Is this great bull market terrific? Because they're too afraid. Instead, they just point out a lot of good charts and some terrific companies and let people draw their own conclusions. But the bottom line, when you look at all the groups that are winning here, how can you not like this market? And like it much more importantly, if it goes lower, which at this moment would be very much a gift so you can do some buying at better prices. I want to go to Ivani in Connecticut. Ivani.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah.
I'm a college student, and I've been watching your show for a long time, and I'm also a club member, so thanks for all your
thank
advice.
Thank you. What a great combination. College student, young person, club member, fantastic. Fantastic. How can I help?
So with the athleisure industry's recent dip last week and Lululemon citing a slower quarter, what does their outlook look like?
Wow, this is such a – I've been debating and debating and debating this. I am now beginning to believe that there are people who have figured out Lulu's formula and are coming after it. There's Fiori. There's the new Gap Athleta re-energized. I just think that there's – let's just put it like this. The competition has heated up. Let's leave it like that. Richard in California. Richard!
Jim, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Jim, the stock that I'm interested in having you look at for me is Shake Shack. I've been watching it for a while and noticed the jump on the last quarterly earnings, and it's off about 7.5% already from that high of almost 111. I'm thinking of entering a serious position in it. I have an opinion and wondered if you could take a look and see if you have a buy or sell opinion for me looking.
It hasn't had a very big move. Now, I will tell you, we have liked Rob Lynch historically. We think he's a terrific CEO. He has come in there. I think it's a breath of fresh air. I do think this stock needs a bit of a pullback because it sells at a very, very high price or earnings multiple. But I like what you're going. I like where you're going because I like the management. Now, to anyone who still insists that this market is just about the Mag 7, please, I urge you to think again, even if it goes lower, all right? We've got so many winners right now. It's kind of insane. And I think if they come down, that's a chance to buy, not sell. On Mad Money Tonight, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink is out with that annual letter of his today where he starts a conversation about the long-term issues that he thinks are important to you. And I'm sitting down with him in a rare two-part interview to get his view on the market and what he thinks we need to stay focused on, including retirement. Then, the stock of DraftKings has had a monster run the last year, so should investors take a gamble with the stock at these levels? I'm going off the charts to see where the online sportsbook could be headed. And I think it's an amazing moment for retail. So I'm revealing three names that I think represent strength for the cohort that you can buy on weakness. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on X. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Mentions. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX. Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll be right back.
There are very few things that are truly required reading in this business. Warren Buffett's annual letter to shareholders, the transcript of Jensen Huang's annual GTC keynote address, arguably the alerts we send to the CNBC Investing Club, biased. And definitely the annual letter to shareholders from BlackRock's co-founder, chairman, and CEO, Larry Fink. From his perch atop BlackRock, which is the world's largest asset manager, Fink has a truly unique perspective on the capital markets. So what's on his mind this year? He's primarily focused on two topics: helping people save for retirement in a world that makes this very difficult, and infrastructure, specifically how the capital markets can help raise money to build and repair everything we need. Given what happened in Baltimore this morning, it's hard not to see the need for new infrastructure. So read the letter when you've got time. But first, earlier, we got a chance to speak with Larry Fink, who is possessed about trying to get younger generations to save money and invest it in our capital markets. They just aren't doing it much at all right now. Take a look. Larry, this was perhaps the most important of your letters, and I read every one of them. And that's because, frankly, you are laying it out. There is a generation of people that will never, ever catch up unless they read this and understand that as a nation, we just don't help them.
Look, I think that I write about fear and hope.
Yes.
I think one of the major components of fear is for so many people about how can they have financial independence, but more importantly, for so many, how can you live your later years with dignity and decency? And we don't talk about the whole crisis of retirement. And this is not just a U.S. phenomenon. This is a phenomenon worldwide now. Last year, I traveled to 17 different countries, and I've never had more broad conversations about the need to think about retirement, whether it's in a middle-class developing country or it's a very advanced developed country. They're rethinking about how should we be thinking about retirement. In the coming years, we're going to be doubling the number of people over 65 years old, and we're not preparing society for that. And one of the big things for me, Jim, was there's not a day that doesn't go by we don't talk about the miracles of drug discovery, especially when we talk about the weight loss drugs and the power of what they're doing, the miracles of what they're doing in terms of helping kidney disease and joint diseases and heart diseases and diabetes. There's new miracles coming on related to dementia and the slowing down the pathway for dementia. We're extending life. These are miracles. These are blessings.
But these are people, younger people, they don't know how to invest.
No.
They are scared to invest. They are intimidated.
Yes.
They don't feel they have a penny to live on. And worst of all, they do have no hope. And they tell you when you confront them that that's the realistic position, no hope. Because our generation had reason to be hopeful, and they don't.
Well, I don't think also the younger generation knows where and who to listen to. Of them are listening to some form of social media. They're not reading anything long form anymore. We were blessed that we had actually long form media where we really learned about issues and more fundamental issues. But even back 30, 40 years ago, we didn't talk about retirement. We never talked about things like retirement before. But now we must. We have no choice.
They feel that they can't afford to retire. They will work. This is this young generation. They will work till they die because they have no money. They have huge college tuition.
Yes.
And no one tells them how to put money away. And they would tell you, what money? Inflation has destroyed me.
Correct.
I'm 23 and inflation has already had the best of me.
Well, when you and I were young, we actually had worse inflation than
the
young people
too.
And we were able
Jimmy
to
Carter
find it out.
Nixon inflation.
We had much larger inflation. So, look, we're going to get by this, but we need to be thoughtful about how do we build that process. And look, I am bullish on these young people. They are smarter than we were at our age. They have more global understanding of the world. They're going to be put to work and have finding wonderful opportunities if they put their mind to it, if they have the energy behind that.
But how do we do it? See, it is up to you and I. I mean, actually,
it
really may be up to you and I. I mean, they feel disconnected. They don't want to put themselves in our shoes because they think our shoes are too big and it's ridiculous. They have no bootstraps. They lost their trust in the country.
I think the lack of trust in our country is one of the huge issues of today because they don't know where and who to listen to. And I really do believe we as leaders, you in your role, my in role, we have a larger responsibility of speaking the truth with facts, with consistency. And I think this is what my letter is doing, talking about some of the big issues that we're afraid to talk about. You know, I'm an optimist. We always talk about how I'm an optimist.
Yes, you and I are both optimists.
I'm an optimist because we talk about many of the problems. You read a front page every day, it is full of, you know, problems.
Right.
However, what people don't realize is if we talk about these problems, we generally mitigate them. In fact, most times the problems never get as severe as they are. What I worry about is when we never talk about these problems and the problems get worse. And to me, that's why I wanted to focus on retirement, because this is something that we don't talk about. We put it under the table because it's not today's problems. It's not about the moment. It's about the building a nest egg for retirement takes 30, 40 years. And so I understand a lot of young people don't even have the money to live a proper life. But there are many who are going to working at fine organizations, fine companies. And we all have that responsibility to help them down that pathway.
Well, one of the reasons that I really love this letter is it's filled with optimism. You genuinely believe if we can grow out of our problem, which people don't think we can, and you actually provide a solution. We have millions of jobs that can be created, literally millions in our country, by being pragmatic about energy. I thought it was terrific.
Right. Well, this is a phrase that I've heard across the world, that we have to be decarbonizing at the same time, and we have to continue to be making sure that we have energy at an affordable level. And so we need to have the hydrocarbons today. And so this energy pragmatism that I heard worldwide, even countries but the one thing that I'm hearing from so many countries, they're aggressively decarbonizing as fast as they can. But at the same time, if they're growing at 8%, like in India, they're still using coal, and they must use coal because they don't want to be dependent on OPEC to buy more and more and more. So they're growing their economy. They're growing their economy with more and more investments in energy, with decarbonization. But that's the future. This is why I'm talking about infrastructure. We need to do more public-private. We need more private capital to be putting to work. And so then government can be spending more money on other issues.
Now, there is a belief that with no costs coming down, with food being so expensive, with college tuition leaving over a lot of debt, that it's almost foolish to try to save. This is their view, because how are they supposed to pay rent if they're saving?
Look, life is full of trade-offs. I mean, we all have trade-offs. And if you don't have enough for your rent, obviously you're not going to save for retirement. But there are many people who are renting and having a role in a job that are ultimately through their work, they're able to build some form of nest egg. And the key is putting that money to work. It's not keeping money in a bank account. It's about the compounding of a return and building a retirement over a long horizon.
But how do we make it so that retirement investing is more automatic in this country?
Good question. Well, we need to have 57 million Americans do not even have retirement. That's what you're talking about.
Now, they're going to work till they die, Larry.
Unfortunately,
they have no choice.
But here's the blessing. I just said we're all going to live longer. That's a massive blessing. We don't have most people in this country do not have back-breaking jobs like we had 50, 100, 200 years ago. What is wrong about working longer? Okay, we have to change your psyche.
Yes.
First of all, every human being needs a purpose. And most people find purpose in their job, in their family. And it's a balancing act. Everything is a balancing act. And I do really believe that investing allows people that platform, that background to grow and to have the ability to have money when you stop working, to live with dignity and decency.
But how do we convince them, like we were convinced by our parents, that we are going to make more than they did? I knew from day one, my father said, you will make more than I do, and that's what's going to happen to you. And I had that every Thanksgiving, okay? But come on, you're going to make more than I do. My kid, no kid I know thinks they're going to make anywhere near what our generation made.
I'm more bullish on that, Jim. I think that there's going to be, you know, there's so much room for innovation. At the same time, we were at a lucky part. We were, you know, we were
in a lucky era.
We were in a lucky era. And But we were in a lucky era because we had the foundation of growth as an economy. And that's why I'm calling for, we need to be thinking about not cutbacks. We need to be talking about how do we grow? How do we build? If we start really building out our infrastructure in our country, if we start working on digitization and decarbonization, we're going to create a lot of jobs. And wages are going up. This is why, as you know, I've been talking about higher inflation for longer, stickier inflation. And I still believe we're going to have higher inflation than most people believe. And much of that is going to help those people who are worried. I mean, wage inflation is continuing.
Right.
Food inflation has moderated in the last 12 months. But we did not account for the how much inflation we had in late 22 and early 23.
Right.
I mean, if you add up food inflation, if you add up all the measures, the way you measure inflation back in the 80s, inflation was close to 12%, not what they've said for the average person, and that's what they felt.
More with BlackRock Chairman and CEO Larry Fink when we come back.
Coming up, stay tuned for more from the brains behind BlackRock. Cramer and Larry Fink keep the conversation going. Next.
Fact: running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact: smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you get a chance to speak with Larry Fink about some of the most important topics in finance, you've got to stretch that conversation as long as you can. Take a look at the rest of my very wide-ranging and, yes, very optimistic conversation with BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. Let's go over the social media thing you started with. There are a lot of people who think the system is rigged against them. I never felt the system was rigged. I never felt there was a system.
I don't think the system's rigged against anybody. It's not personal. I don't think the system is rigged, but I believe the problem is we don't know who to listen to. We have such extreme views. There's a, you know, we're not basing everything on facts anymore. We're basing it on opinions.
Yes.
Even newspapers are more opinion papers now than news. We have to get back to the facts. We got to build dignity and decency again. We got to believe in each other again. I mean, one of the things that my parents taught me, and I'm sure your parents taught you, is you got to believe in yourself. It starts with you.
Right.
And, you know, I believed in myself. I believed I had, you know, not just that I was going to believe that I could earn more money than my parents. Actually, I never thought about it in that frame. But I believed in myself that I could. I have a real chance of doing something, and I do believe. You know, I see more young kids who are joining BlackRock. They believe in themselves. They believe in they have a future, and you know, I don't think it's as stark as how you're framing it, but there is a large component of society that is saying exactly what you said.
Can we teach it? I mean, I felt like I was doing something for 19 years with Mad Money. I finished your letter. I don't feel like I got through to anybody.
Look, I think my letter is really about optimism and a pathway to move forward. And I do believe we need to we all need to be focusing on a pathway to make more people have hope. And when more people have hope and less fear, and I think everything you're framing is more people have more fear today, we need to have pathways to create more hope and more certainty.
You know, right now, people believe that the deficit is too big, so they buy Bitcoin. How about if they bought shares in an infrastructure fund, which is trying to combat the way that our country does business.
I think there'd be many great opportunities to invest.
But I like this one. I like this infrastructure.
I'm a big believer in infrastructure.
Because I go to our airports, the good ones, and they're obviously public-private partnerships.
Yes.
This is what we're talking about. And the money that they can charge is to do it is high. And that gives us a chance to invest in something that's more than just a bank account.
And you witness when the private hands are owning these airports, the quality of services better, smaller lines, you know, just a better, there's more money going into it to fixing it up to make it, you know, a great service.
Right. And I'm talking about the Global Infrastructure Partners buy, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, because we all think that the government doesn't work, and yet here we are in a London airport, and the government didn't work. They gave it to Global Infrastructure
Partners. They sold it. They sold it to them.
And that was just absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
And this is also part of the energy pragmatism. We can let these companies do carbon capture, but we also let them drill.
Correct. And that's what we exactly did. That's why we're partners with Occidental Petroleum.
Which I thought was brilliant.
And I'm very bullish.
The largest one. They're the
largest direct air capture in the world, working with an energy company. I said that in my 2020 letter. We must work with these energy companies, not against. I mean, here we are. BlackRock is becoming one of the largest companies in investing decarbonization, like direct air capture.
But you're also one of the largest in energy security.
We own over $180 billion in traditional energy companies. I mean, we're working with them. We are working on one or two other projects with traditional energy companies, both on non-traditional energy and new opportunities. And I do believe there are going to be really great opportunities for investing in infrastructure on behalf
of... Okay, well,
And then you want to just intersect AI.
Sure.
You intersect AI and the power of information and data.
You don't all have to go to Stanford with AI. AI is about not going to Stanford.
Correct. AI coding is in English now. It's
right.
Not some code.
People should realize
we're going to be democratizing
information.
And that's going to empower more people to have more opportunity. But more importantly, we're going to need huge sums of money to invest in these data centers.
Yes, we do.
And if we're going to be the leader, and I must say, when I talk to every other country wants to be a leader in AI.
Right.
And they're going to be investing in this and building data centers. And every data center people are going to want are going to be with decarbonized technology,
right,
wind or solar. And so we're seeing this live.
All optimistic. So I show my daughter, she's about to be 30. She's going through the letter. It was embargoed, but I show her. And she takes her phone out and she takes a picture of it.
Yeah.
I said, "What are you taking a picture of?" And she goes, "I'm taking a picture of the total return since BlackRock's IPO versus the S&P.
Yeah.
She said, "This is what you need to show people, Dad.
Yeah.
You've got to show people that they can make far more money than they think."
Well, this is why I've always been against people keeping all their money in a bank account.
Right.
Because you're going to, you know, in every country, I've done that chart almost in every country, you did, including Japan, you do better owning equities than keeping your money in a bank account over the last 40 years.
This is just a picture that speaks $100,000.
Yes.
We can get this word out. You, me, others who feel the same way you do about capitalism, we can get the word out.
Think about if you own the companies that are heavily into AI, or you invested in the companies that are creating these new drugs for weight reduction, or companies that touch everybody since its beginning, like a Lululemon, a Chipotle.
Right. Well, we will get this done.
I mean, these stocks have done unbelievable.
People must read this letter in order to be optimistic enough to think correctly. I want to thank Larry Fink, who's the chairman and CEO of BlackRock. Larry, your best one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, can daily fantasy win the day? Kramer goes off the charts with a look at DraftKings. Next.
When we've got a strong market like this one, sometimes it pays to just stick with what's working. I'm always on the hunt for new ideas, as you know, but when the old ideas keep racking up consistent gains, don't overthink it. Very often, winners just keep winning. And that's why tonight we're going off the charts with the help of Dan Fitzpatrick. He's a terrific technician who's the founder of Stock Market Mentor and host of his own podcast, The Fitz Factor. Take a closer look at one of the best performers of the past 12 months. Remember, back in late January, Fitzpatrick pounded the table on NVIDIA and Supermicro, two obvious winners that had been roaring back then, and now they're both dramatically higher. NVIDIA's up nearly 330 points from those levels, while Supermicro's more than double. And now Patrick is ready to pound on one I didn't even want to pound on. He's ready to pound the table on DraftKings, the online sports betting play with a red-hot stock that shows no signs of slowing down. Not only does this company have accelerating revenue growth, or ARG, it's also about to pivot from losing money to actually turning a sizable profit this year. No wonder the stock's been a horse. Fitzpatrick notes that it's been outperforming 96% of all listed stocks, putting it in the top 4%. And when he looks at the charts, he sees strong signs of institutional buying still. In his view, the big money managers have anointed DraftKings as a winner, and they're going to keep buying on the way up for quite some time. What gives him that impression? First, I want you to take a look at the weekly chart of DraftKings. Fitzpatrick points out that the stock is both an uptrending 40-week moving average and a 10-week moving average. Both the long-term and short-term trajectories are very strong. Now, look at what's happened here. Back in 2022, so let's go back here, DraftKings printed a double bottom reversal pattern, okay? And since then, it's been pretty much unstoppable. Double pattern reverse, very important. Now, the stock broke through its 10-week and 40-week moving averages with the shorter-term 10-week, which is in red, okay, crossing over the long-term right here, okay, right there, the longer-term 40-week in early 23. Now, this is what technicians call a bullish crossover, right here, bullish crossover. And for Fitzpatrick, that marked the beginning of a brand new uptrend in DraftKings, one that's still chugging along just fine. DraftKings, boom. Now, he's extended the 40-week moving average out in the future because he thinks that's the trend line for DraftKings. As long as the stock continues to hold above this key moving average, Fitzpatrick thinks the stock's safe to own because it should be able to continue marching higher. Of course, if it breaks down below the 40-week moving average, which is the same as the 200-day moving average on the daily chart, then he says all bets are off and you should be taking profits. You understand that is the way the technicians think. Yes, we all wish that it would just, no matter what, it would bounce and wouldn't change his mind, but they don't think like that. However, Fitz is confident that DraftKings can keep marching higher because he sees meaningful signs of institutional buying here. And when money managers with deep pockets decide to build a position in stock, their buying can be almost endless. Where's he getting this? All right, check out the volume bars down at the bottom. Over the past several months, Fitzpatrick notes that the tallest volume bars are all green. I know it's difficult, but you can tell green versus red. Look at that piece, for instance. That's a good one there. During pullbacks, the red volume bars are much shorter. That shows there's limited selling pressure. This kind of volume pattern is the hallmark of institutional buying, and that's very good for anyone who owns DraftKings. All right, now let's zoom in on the daily chart. You can see a bunch of things going on here. First, throughout the uptrend that started early last year, Fitzpatrick notes that the stocks had multiple big breakdowns below its 50-day moving average. Now, that's the floor, because you want to look at this, right? That's the floor for him. He circles all the multiple breakdowns. Typically, a breakdown below the 50-day would be a sign of trouble. However, when you drill down on these three periods when the 50-day didn't hold, you can see that all three were sell-offs on relatively weak volume. So, you see, you have to measure the volume. If it's low, then, of course, it tells you that it's not a true decline. I mean, one that you have to take action on. So, Fitzpatrick, this means that every time the charts started getting ugly, some weak hands got shaken out. I mean, that makes sense, right? But most of the shareholders decided to stick with DraftKings. Sure enough, each time the stock rebounded back above its 50-day moving average, these rallies occurred on heavy volume. The spike in volume shows you the real, real market. What's really going on? And that's what we saw in the weekly chart, lots of institutional buying. Once the sellers evaporate, the buyers come in with a lot more firepower. That said, DraftKings appears to have moved into a new phase over the last couple of months. From February through mid-March, the stock was trading sideways on light volume, what technicians call a volatility squeeze. DraftKings was making a series of lower highs and higher lows, with its trading range getting narrower and narrower. But Fitzpatrick says that the volatility squeeze will result in a kind of pinching dynamic, where low volatility stocks end up being primed for big breakouts. And that's what happened exactly 1 week ago when DraftKings suddenly roared higher on much higher volume. It's like a bunch of buyers suddenly realized that March Madness was upon us. DraftKings betting March Madness. Usually a stock wouldn't get so much love from something that's literally in the calendar, but what can I say? The moment the NCAA tournament started, DraftKings caught fire. It makes sense. Since then, the stocks continue to rally. At this point, Fitzpatrick thinks that DraftKings is a little bit overextended above the 50-day moving average, which is the first real floor of support. You remember, he was talking about that before. That's why he recommends maybe being patient, waiting for a bit of a pullback if you don't own it already. Right now, the stock's at $48 and change, while the 50-day moving average sits at just under $42. So maybe you want to see if you can get a better entry point down a few points from here. And remember, if DraftKings starts breaking down below its key moving average, Fitzpatrick says yes, the change changes the thesis, and you should be ready to bolt with a predefined exit plan. My view. Look, I like DraftKings. I thought the company had a lot going for it when it reported what was widely called a mixed quarter back in mid-February. I said it was much better than that. If you did your homework, the quarter was very, very encouraging. Here's the bottom line. The charts interpreted by Dan Fitzpatrick suggest that even though DraftKings has already given us some incredible gains, the stock could have a lot more room to run. That said, he still recommends waiting for it to cool off before you buy it too aggressively. And you know what? I like March Madness, but I think he's going to be right. May have money's back in.
Coming up, hit us with your best shot. An electrified fast fire lightning round is next.
It is time. It's time for the lightning round. Cruise around. We take my calls. I'm going to tell you about Bobby myself. Do you know the course? Awkward ahead. Time my stepper. It's literally a blade. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? Time for the lightning round. Cranes, I start with David in Tennessee. David.
Hey, Jim. Just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing and giving information to the people, because we know information is power in the market. So my question is about State Street.
I actually want earnings leverage right now, which is why people like Citi and I like Wells Fargo and Morgan Stanley. You should tune in tomorrow at noon at the Investing Club. I'm going to talk about that concept. Let's go to Elizabeth in Florida. Elizabeth.
Hi, Jim. I was wondering, what is your outlook for Visa?
Oh, I like Visa very much here. I like that settlement that was announced today. I think that that's actually going to get a, it's going to clear their heads a little bit. The stock is too close to its all-time high. If it comes in a little, I would be a buyer. V or V, whatever. Rich in Colorado. Rich!
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I are both members of the Investing Club, and we think joining the club is the smartest financial decision we ever made.
Well, I look forward to listening to you at noon tomorrow.
Thank you, amazing team, for everything you do for us now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What do we got?
Well, I want to get your opinion on Huntington Ingalls Industries.
Okay, this is a very good Navy contractor that I've liked ever since the spinoff, which is now dating me years and years and years ago. Now, it's had a very big run, but I think it can go higher. It's a winner, not a loser. How about we go to Gary in North Carolina? Gary.
Hey, Jim. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I want to tell you, I've run across a stock that I really like, the small cap growth stock. It's called Chart Industries. The symbol is GTLS.
You know what? I discovered this stock. This was a company that we owned for a long time. It is absolutely terrific. Sells at only 14 times earnings. You're on to a good one. It's very good for industrial gases. Stay long that stock. Let's go to Rob in New Jersey. Rob.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah, Rob.
Jim, my kids are interested in stocks. I'm looking at AECOM. In the last 5 years, it's had great stock appreciation and growth, but revenue is down. Do you see the stock continuing to reside in the house of pleasure?
Well, I think they only like to take business where they can make a lot of money. That's why you have that. They're a very shrewd selector of business. That said, the stock is at its high. Well, a point from its high. We're not going to buy stocks that close to their high when the market looks soggy like it does now. We want it to come in a little before by AECOM. And that, ladies and gentlemen, conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Charles Schwab. Coming up, these three retailers have toppled the doubting Thomases. Can they bag a return for your portfolio? Stick with Cramer.
Keep hearing about how the consumer's weakening and there's real trouble brewing under the surface in retail. But man, I've really seen so many retailers doing well all at once. Come on. Sure, there are a couple of awful retailers that have struggled giving plenty of merchandise to the closeout chains, like TJX, which I own for my charitable trust. Aside from that, though, it's an amazing moment for the industry. First, Walmart's rejuvenated itself like you can't even believe. I urge you to go there. You'll see prices like the old days with amazing overseas sources. Second, Costco's delivering insane numbers at a time when everyone's supposed to be so cash-strapped. They have the lowest prices, and they're doing a gigantic amount of business per store.
third Target just reported a sharply better than expected quarter, a marvel, which shows that this company still got it. Plus, the stock's substantially cheaper than Walmart. I think Target can go much higher. But let's get granular. Let's consider The Gap, Williams-Sonoma, and Dick's Sporting Goods, three of the hottest stocks in the universe right now. Almost everyone I know gave up on The Gap years ago when Old Navy, the real growth engine, slowed and their flagship Gap just vanished as a factor in retail. No more. Under CEO Richard Dixon, there's a giant turn going on at Old Navy, and names say Gap is now turning too. Banana Republic and Athleta haven't turned yet. Trajectory says they will soon. How'd they do it? The old-fashioned way, better merchandising. Dixon spent a ton of time on his conference call talking about brand reinvigoration. He's bringing it. He's executing at a super high level, too. Witness Gap's gross margin expanding by an astounding 530 basis points. As he put on the call, quote, Gap was built on strong product narratives with brilliant marketing expressed through big ideas, end quote. Of course, Gap's been through so many CEOs that you think, oh, same old promises. But the stock is up 33% this year, and that tells a better story than anything I could say. How about Williams-Sonoma? CEO Laura Albert has this chain firing on all cylinders. Now, she had her doubters coming into the quarter, with both Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley rating the stock a
sell.
Both firms changed their tune when they saw the latest results because the gross margin expansion from sheer execution was just too great. The earnings magnificent. They had no choice but to upgrade. Goldman and Morgan Stanley both thought that the margin improvement would flatten out, so when that didn't happen, they had no choice. The combination of great merchandising and a fantastic e-commerce first strategy allowed Albert to crush the naysaying analysts. This stock was at $118 a year ago. Now it's at $308. Finally, let's talk Dick's Sporting Goods. Right now, Nike's hurting. In the old days, you know what that meant? It meant that Dick's would be hurting, too. Not anymore, though. Under the incredibly underrated Lauren Hobart, remember that name, the company delivered a merchandise margin explosion, more than 300 basis points pickup over the pre-pandemic 2019 level. Nike getting trash? Hey, no problem for Dick's, as his footwear was actually a bright spot. Plus, its new format, this House of Sport, is laying waste to the estimates. The Street was looking for almost flat same-store sales for the company. Now, they did 2.8% growth. That's a gigantic upside surprise. And that's how this stock has rallied nearly 50% for the year. I present these three not just because they're performing at an ultra-high level, but because the analysts almost universally disliked these three stocks. Oh, there were some tepid buy ratings, but only a small number of champions. People just didn't see these numbers coming. They were so caught up with the Fed and the business cycle that they forgot the big picture. Retail's about having the right amount of exciting merchandise, just enough inventory, excellent margin expansion, and most important, terrific leadership. The Gap, Williams-Sonoma, and Dick's Sporting Goods, they have all three, which is why they could roar even when so many people were writing off the entire group. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.